welcome everybody just to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City there on your left-hand side.
Howdy.
David, we got a really good show today. I'm going to just say it right off the top. If you guys are going to want to stick to it today all the way through, because what we're going to tell you about is something that's happening right now and is going to continue to happen until, if you're a Christian, you're going to be happy, and if you're non-Christian, you're not. Basically, that's how it works. So, David, you want to pray us into the show, and then we'll show everybody what we're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you have put us in this, the end of the age, to see your return and all the events that come up to it, so we can lead others and show them that these things have been prophesied in your word, and that we can trust the Bible because it's 100% accurate. So we give you all the praise as this word goes forth as a seed, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. And now, I'm going to start, well, I'll show you the topics first. I think that's only fair. So what we're going to talk about is religious news right off the top, with the death of Pope Francis playing a big part of that. And it's almost unbelievable that this happened at this particular time on this particular topic. So it's a curious thing is the best way I can tell you. Then Russian and Ukrainian war update. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Middle Eastern conflicts. And then we're going to get into the birth pains of the final hour. And, you know, it's really exciting for Christians, and it's not so exciting for non-Christians. It's kind of a, well, you better get your act together quick type of situation. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and begin here with the religious news. Christian communities continue to face persecution worldwide. In Iran, reports indicate a six-fold increase in the imprisonment of Christians, particularly targeting of evangelical groups. In Nigeria, the Islamic Fulani extremists over there have attacked the village of Ziki, killing at least 54 Christians during Palm Sunday celebrations. And according to Open Doors World Watch List, over 380 million Christians globally are suffering from high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. Now, yesterday, Monday, April the 21st, Pope Francis passed away at the age of 88. His death followed a period of declining health. Pope Francis was known for his progressive stances on social issues and efforts to modernize the Catholic Church. His death comes after the Pope met briefly with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance at the Vatican. The meeting occurred amid prior tensions over U.S. immigration policies, with the Pope having previously criticized the administration's approach as a violation of human dignity, and he may have a different opinion now.
I believe he does.
From the Jerusalem Post, the article "Rewriting the Bible," calling Israel's war shameful, Pope Francis changed his stance on Israel. The article states that Pope Francis became increasingly vocal in condemning Israel's war against Hamas in the months before his death, including a nativity scene featuring baby Jesus wrapped in the thing was unveiled at Pope Francis' nativity scene and Christmas tree inauguration back in December in St. Peter's Square. The Pope's inauguration of nativity scene that showed baby Jesus cradled in that Palestinian outfit is an affront to Jesus, the Bible, and the 80% of Christians who have fled Bethlehem since the Palestinian Authority took over the city. That, according to the president proclaiming justice to the nation's Lori Cardoza Moore, quoting her here, it says, let's be clear, the Pope can't rewrite the Bible. Jesus was a Jew from Judea, not a Palestinian. He was born to a Jewish mother in Bethlehem, in Judea. There was no Palestine, and she is 100% correct on that. Then Pope Francis also suggested that the global community, also suggested the global community study whether Israel's military campaign in Gaza constituted a genocide of the Palestinian people in some of his most explicit criticism of Israel just last November. Now, in excerpts published from a new forthcoming book, the pontiff said some international experts say, quote, what is happening in Gaza has the characteristics of a genocide. We should investigate carefully to assess whether this fits into the technical definition of genocide formulated by international jurists and organizations. That according again to the Pope. During his 2014 visit to the Western Wall, the pontiff left a handwritten note calling for unity. How happy I am that I was told, let us go to the house of the Lord, Francis wrote in the Western Wall's visitor's book, and there he was referencing Psalm, which reads, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This visit fills me with joy. I feel deeply moved and grateful to my elder brothers. I came here to pray and to ask God to bring peace, the goodness of peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 4. And got one more here for you. Gerald Murray is a regular commentator on Fox. He's a conservative priest, and he has harshly criticized Pope Francis's woke ideology on Fox News. And he did that just hours after the pontiff's death. Father Murray told the news network that Francis had steered the church toward a leftist and woke direction during his papacy and mused on whether or not the next pope would have a similar belief system. He also took issue with the way in which the pope challenged certain teachings on homosexuality, divorce, and remarriage, saying the pope had expressed his support of the LGBTQ community, telling reporters, "Who am I to judge?" when asked about the sexual orientation of priests in 2013. He'd also advocated for decriminalizing same-sex relationships, invited members of the transgender community to the Vatican, and allowed priests to bless same-sex relationships. Father Murray blamed the interesting influences early on in the Pope's life for shaping his woke ideology. He specifically referenced a woman who was part of the Communist Party and close to the Pope. And then quoting him here, he said, I think that's one of the reasons why he's antagonistic to capitalism and why he took what we would say a leftist political point of view. Now, again, David, he was pretty much on the left-hand side of things there. I don't think things are going so well for him right now, and he didn't go in the direction that he anticipated, but that's my personal opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this guy was off the deep end for sure. I think, my assessment is he was a little light in the loafers himself. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things. Who in their right mind would say, yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and rewrite God's word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guarantee you this, when he's, because even in Hades, you can see the Son of God in all of his glory, because you can. And they're just not going to be able to communicate in any
breach
way.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I guarantee you he's not wearing any Islamic clothing right now. Mm-mm. And, you know, just like you would say, remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? In Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just let me go back and just tell my brothers. I guarantee you that's what he's saying right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even if he was mad right now, when this life is over, there is no getting mad at God.
It's no, like, there's not.
You're
going
to know that is the truth. Mm-hmm. This is what it is. You can't be mad because you're going to see your sin for your entire life. And you're going to know for a fact that you deserve it. Mm-hmm. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And that's what he's doing now. But a scary thought is it may possibly be too late. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he repented 10 minutes before.
Yeah, who knows?
But I wouldn't bet on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the autopsy, or the Vatican released the cause of death, I'll put it that way. They said that he suffered a stroke and went into a coma, and then he had a heart attack. Now, I noticed while I was reading that stuff, David, that a lot of the things that he stated were rather recent. I mean, you know, you're talking about November, December. Yep. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, he's had some recurring medical problems going on for quite a while, but they seem to get worse here recently. And I'm just wondering if maybe the Lord was giving him, you know, a little clue, hey, you know, straighten up, like right now. You know, stop making these crazy statements. You know,
he was old too. I mean, he was like
he was 88. Yeah, he was 88, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
So you got that, but you know that, and the I foresee this as the Lord actually was merciful on him and gave him extra time.
Right, because he had that double pneumonia. Yeah, he had that double pneumonia just a week or two ago.
Yeah, and you know that sometimes people get that chance and they don't take it, and it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to get before the great throne, and here you are in court. And he's like, listen, I gave you that extra chance. You can't say nothing here. And, you know, he thinks, you know, he's quoting a psalm, how happy I was, let us go to the house of the Lord. What he doesn't realize is that Western Wall was not part of the temple.
Right.
So he wasn't in the house of the Lord.
No, he was not.
Okay, so there's that. But the thing that was interesting to me is because this was prophesied by Pope Malachi or Malachi hundreds of years ago, and he named all of the popes, and this one was the last one. Okay. What does that mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning. Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the question is this, did this pope really have this, this prophecy? Did they try and just fit the names all the way along? Or, you know, was it, it's like everything else with rat poison. It's 99% delicious rat food, and it's a 1% poison. So maybe it was at the very end here, and he's like, look, oh, look, it's good. It's good. Just like Satan does. You know, he got all these things and all these miracles and all this other stuff. And then at the end, it all collapses.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the case. That's going to be interesting to find out, because we don't necessarily take the prophecy of the Pope back then as gospel.
No.
But it was certainly interesting how they fell into line all the way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm with you on that. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. You know,
won't elect another one. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. I'm the Aztecs keep popping in my mind. I'm not sure that that's the right one or not, but you know, they were talking about, you know, this is going to be the end, you know, this particular year or whatever, that's it. Well, we went past that, you know, we went by
2012.
That. And I don't know. I think there's been other ones, you know, where a calendar ran out or something, but, you know, so I'm wondering if maybe this is the same thing, or maybe the guy was right. Who knows? I mean, we're going to find out soon enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, did you hear any news of them voting for another one?
Not yet, but, you know, they've got to call the conclave, and they go in, and there's a certain – I wasn't even aware of this, but not all the cardinals vote. They have a they have a specific number of cardinals that are allowed to vote. And, you know, I don't know how they pick them. I don't have the first clue. But anyway,
they're a Ouija board, probably. I don't know.
there's a certain number of cardinals that will convene there, and they'll vote. And from what I understand, there's a lot of politicking that goes on there. You know, some of them really want it. Others don't. And, you know, I don't know. I think the Lord, again, gave a big hint about why you shouldn't call yourself a pope, or, you know, or a god on earth, I guess is the best way to say it. Back in history, there were crooks that became pope, you know, I mean, some really evil people became pope. So, you know, that should have been a clue of, well, you know, maybe this isn't it. And I can also, I'm going to throw this out there and make sure that I'm on the page with you on this one, David. Peter was not the first pope, right?
No, Peter was actually apostle to the Jews. It was Paul who was the apostle to the Gentiles. So, mm-hmm. I mean, right out of the gate, they got that whacked, you know?
Okay. Well, we'll just have to wait and see how all this works out, you know. But I do hope that he did seek the Lord in his last moments. We can only hope. There's nothing, like you said, there's nothing to indicate that that's the case, but you know, that's not my call to make, you know, that's.
I still remember Saturday Night Live in the 70s was the best, and they had Father Guido Sarducci. Remember him?
I didn't watch the show.
And he'd come up and he'd wear the hat, and he'd have all his Catholic gear on. He'd be smoking and drinking. His father, hey, Guido Sarducci, hey. And he came out, hey, you know what? I came up with this a new outfit. It says, you too can be the Pope.
Oh,
and so you
goodness.
Just so you get the outfit, you put it on.
Good
he always had all this crazy stuff. He was Father Guido Sarducci.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next subject here, which is the Russia-Ukraine update. We got the Russia-Ukrainian war has intensified. Now, this was marked by failed Easter ceasefire. There was a significant prisoner exchange and then a renewed Russian offensive. On the 19th, Russian President Putin declared a 30-hour unilateral Easter ceasefire. However, according to Ukrainian President Zelensky, he reported nearly 3,000 violations by the Russian forces during this period, including 96 assault operations, over 1,800 shellings, and hundreds of drone attacks. Now, in contrast, Russia accused the Ukraine of over 4,900 ceasefire violations.
I see your 3,000, and I raise you 4,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We're not quite as bad as you are, is what that looks like to me. Now, as the ceasefire expired without an extension, Ukraine and Russia conducted their largest prisoner exchange since the war's onset. Ukraine welcomed home 277 soldiers, while Russia received 246 servicemen. The exchange was mediated by the United Arab Emirates. Also included in the return was a number of injured soldiers on both sides. Now, meanwhile, the United States has signaled a potential withdrawal from its role in mediating a peace negotiation between Russia and the Ukraine if substantial progress is not achieved quickly. President Trump and Secretary of State Marco Rubio have expressed growing impatience with the stalled talks, indicating that the United States involvement there could cease within days. Now, what do you think about that, David? Do you think they're going to call it off and, you know, pull back and just let the Ukraine do the best they can?
Well, you know, he's the deal maker, right? The art of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no deal to be made, he's got no problem walking away.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm thinking.
It's like, however, this is 100% going to be a catalyst for the Third World War.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Russia's like, oh, good. You know, he's not going to intervene anymore because he's the only one I'm worried about. And he's just going to go and take over, and we're going to be like, hey, you know what? Yeah. A little Zelensky, you should have listened.
Well, I saw David where the United States has stated that Ukraine will not be a member of NATO, and then there's a lot of others that are saying, well, you know, NATO is a defensive organization. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, but if you look at Article 5, that doesn't look too defensive to me. It's, you know, it's one. If one country, for whatever reason, gets attacked by somebody else outside of NATO, then every other NATO country has to come to that one country's defense. And that's the reason Zelensky's pushing so hard for it. Trump's taking it off the table, supposedly, but Russia's not buying into it until it's basically signed off on by NATO that, you know, We're not going to do it. We're not going to bring you in. Mm-hmm. What is your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, there they are. They're playing hardball again, and he's like, no, like they think they're going to bully him. He doesn't have their currency. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't buy into their system, and he's not going to. And not for nothing, they're Russians. They're Scythians, and they're like, okay, then we'll die. Yeah. But we're not going to do what you want because you forced us. It's just as simple as that. He insists on that. He says, if you do this, we'll sign the agreement right now, and they won't do it.
Well, now I heard that that deal of for what do they call it, Earth something, the materials over there, that they had come to an agreement again between the United States and Ukraine on this mineral deal, whatever it's called.
Come back begging.
Yeah. But again, there's nothing in concrete on that yet. I mean, you don't see Zelensky walking into the White House, and I think the next time he visits the White House, if he does, he better wear a suit. I mean, that's just, you know, personal opinion on that. I don't think Trump's
going to put up with it. Look at this. The Babylon Bee just came out with something else here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they got all the cardinals with their red jackets on and their fish hats, right? And it says, Catholic Church to consider electing Pope who's a Catholic this time.
Oh, man, that's almost true. That is almost true. I hate to go back on that subject, but I will just real quick. because you know, the LGBTQ thing and the transgender, you know, inviting them in. I can't see any other pope in the history of the church doing that. But, you know.
No, even as apostate as they normally are, they wouldn't do that. Because, you know, people don't want that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know how the Catholic Church works. You know, the internal workings of the thing, but I don't know if the Catholic Church will pick up his policies, or they'll say, okay, well, that was a mistake. We're going to move on. You know, I don't know. I have no idea. I guess, again, we will find out. All right, let's look at Israel and Gaza. The Israeli Prime Minister has reaffirmed his commitment to ongoing military operations in Gaza, despite increasing domestic and international opposition. The Israeli military has intensified its airstrikes, resulting in significant casualties among the Palestinian terrorists, including attacks on the displacement camps designated as safe zones, but used to harbor the Hamas terrorists and their weaponry. Additionally, Hamas official Sami Abu Zahri told Al Jazeera that the group refused a draft proposal requiring disarmament in the second phase of the ceasefire, calling it a million times a red line. He said Hamas is willing to release all hostages if Israel ends the war and withdraws from Gaza. Now, Israel would never accept such a proposal, as it would allow the terrorist organization to regroup and rearm. This further highlighted by remarks from the Hamas terrorists over the weekend, stating that the October 7th attacks would be repeated time and time again until Israel left the occupied land. Now, the interviewer asked them if that meant the Gaza Strip, and the terrorist organization said no, all of Israel. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it just goes to show, and people, they go, oh, we got to get this peace agreement. They have no interest in peace. Mm-mm. Here we are again. They want to destroy them and get them all out of Israel, not even just their little, what they claim is their territory,
right
down where the strong guy was, and Goliath of Gath. They were all the Bible stories are down there. And it's just, it's not their territory, but they want to steal all of Israel.
Yeah.
But this, again, goes back to the principalities and powers.
Mm-hmm.
That is God's territory. They have all the other territories. There's the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece, and they got all their little lands marked out. But they all want to come and try and take Jesus' territory away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And there we are. And they're not going to stop.
No.
They're not going to stop. You can even get them out and do all of Israel, and then they're going to want to go take something else. Like they're trying to take America now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's getting tough on the Hamas people now. I mean, they're saying that they are ready to end the war if Israel withdraws. Okay, and they're going to give up all the hostages. Now, here's the deal. There's a lot of people there in Israel that they're ready to accept that, David, because they want the hostages back. It's like short-term success, ignore long-term failure. Because
yeah, well, what's going to happen is they're going to come and take more hostages.
Yeah, and they were really clear about it that they're going to do the October 7th attack over and over again.
Time and time again.
Just
because they live in Israel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I don't understand. They keep yelling, well, Netanyahu said, and Trump too, should bring the hostages home. Okay, explain to me exactly what you're going to do to make that happen. There's only one way that they're going to make that happen, and that is to surrender to Hamas's terms, right? And then they get mm-hmm. their hostages back, and then they go in again, and maybe they recapture them, or kill them or whatever.
Take them and take more besides and kill more women and children.
That's crazy.
And then yell at you because you didn't keep the peace agreement.
Yeah. I mean, it's insanity. I don't get it. Go ahead.
No, that was it. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to do it again, and then they're going to blame Israel and blame the United States. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't keep the peace agreement. Well, you attacked again.
Well, now, I did see where Israel said that they are on the cusp of – they know where all these people that they released are, mm-hmm. and that they are on the verge of making the decision to go get them again. There was several, I think a couple of 3,000 maybe that have been released so far, if not more. Mm. And Israel
I
said
wonder
that
if they, if they, while they were in captivity, if they kind of like gassed them and then microchipped them somewhere deep inside so you get a GPS. That'd be cool. I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either. I mean, I think they've got them concentrated in one particular region. I should have written it down, but in just one little area there. So they'll probably just go in and start cleaning it up. mm-hmm. I guess that's about the best I can come up with. All right, David, you got about 30 seconds here in the first half. Whatever you want to say.
This stuff is happening. I think the poop passing on has, is kind of like, oh wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. What's next? Because he was supposed to be the last one. I think the biggest news for this week. Mm-hmm. In either case, all the other stuff combined, Jesus is coming back soon, folks. I would suggest that you repent and receive his contract of forgiveness. We'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas. Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen in New York. David, we're going to get to what I really want to talk to everybody about today, which is the birth pains. Birth pains of the final hour. And so I think I'm going to do that now because I want to make sure that we get to it. And then if we got time, we'll go back. And we'll go back to the news again. But I think it'd be a good idea just to keep going here. So I want to put this up real quick. The birth pains before the rapture. The Bible describes birth pains as a metaphor for escalating signs that precede the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. Now, while the word rapture is not explicitly used in the Bible, the event is described in passages that depict Jesus returning for his church before God's judgment is poured out in the seven-year tribulation. The birth pains, contractions before birth, are signs that intensify leading up to the pivotal moment. Before the tribulation begins, Scripture outlines a pattern of mounting global distress that Jesus likens to labor pains. Quoting, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, that's Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. Now, we've been through that many times. Mm-hmm. Now, the Greek word for sorrows is Odin, meaning birth pains. Jesus gives this list before he speaks of the abomination of desolation in verse 15, which marks the midpoint of the tribulation. Therefore, these birth pains happen before and up to the start of the tribulation, indicating the church age's closing moments. Do you agree with that, David?
Yeah, and you got to remember the, you know, we tell people all the time, when Jesus was here, they had no clue of this church thing. Everything was viewed in Israel and that the Messiah was going to come and take over. Mm-hmm. Even the first chapter of Acts, he says, okay, now that you rose from the dead, now are you going to take over?
Right.
Like, chill out, guys. Because they didn't know. And it wasn't until later when he brought the gospel in and primarily said, Paul will be my apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So Peter was going to teach and the other apostles were going to teach the Jews, okay, this is what's happening now in our kingdom. So the next kingdom's coming, the age of grace, and kind of adopted the Essene theology, if you would, because basically the Essenes were Christians. They know, oh, the Messiah is coming and this and that and the other. But that was for the Jews. And then someone had to go out after he established the Jewish church and then go out to the Gentiles and say, okay, you guys are welcome into this fold as well.
Well, now, we've talked about the Essenes several times, and they still exist. I think we may have mentioned this on a previous show, but I know we didn't really get into detail, and I know that you didn't really get to comment on it if we did. And that is that from what I have read, that the Essenes have kind of fallen off the bandwagon. You know, they're like off in left field. Is that right?
Well, here's what happened. They're the ones that became the first church. Because, you know, when they talk about it, you know, in Acts, you know, all those people were saved. Everybody was saved. They were all Jews. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that they were all Jews. And even when John the Baptist says, sends one of his disciples to Jesus while he's in jail. He says, you know, I thought you were going to take over, basically. But here I am in jail. They're going to whack my head off.
Yeah.
Are you the one or do we look for another?
Look for another one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all here because they knew, okay, the time is right. He was born at the right time. He's about to be crucified. He's got all these. Are you the one? Or should we look for another one? And then they explained to him, you know, the dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear. And he explained all of that. And what happened then is they all knew. So the Pharisees, they had nothing to do with it. They were the religious folk. The Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. So they were just kind of bleh. They're like, nah, this is life and that's it. There's no afterlife. Mm-hmm. And the Essenes were the ones, the Zadok priests, basically. They were the ones that were the rightly inherited priesthood. But the Pharisees, in their zeal, tried to steal it from them. Mm-hmm. So all the Essenes basically became the first Christians, the Jews that accepted the Messiah, because that's what they were looking for.
Yeah.
They're not really fun.
Why did they go left? From what I understand, again, the Essenes still exist to this day.
No.
Is that incorrect?
No, not the same ones. There's people that might call themselves that from a different sect or something. Just like there's people that call themselves Jews and they're not. Mm-hmm. There's people that call themselves Christians and are not. There's people that call themselves Essenes and they're just not. But the ones from that time, John the Baptist was most likely one of the prophets of the Essenes. Mm-hmm. They even think some of the disciples were Essenes as well.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that before. And,
yeah, like regular John, not John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. regular John.
Okay.
Because he speaks of a lot of Essene theology.
And
so a Jewish perspective of the Messiah.
Well, that kind of makes sense, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, moving on here, we've got the birth pains as signs that the rapture is near. Now, here we got, while Matthew 24 is directed at Israel, I want to make it really clear here, Matthew 24 is directed at Israel and tribulation events. Parallels do exist with First Thessalonians and Romans, which were addressed to the church. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 3, it says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, this shows the sudden destruction comes as birth pains, not after them, and that the faithful are not appointed to this wrath. So you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And I'm going to finish off this part here with the second half of that. The contrast is between those caught unprepared and the raptured, the church. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 here. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, again, here's the same thing. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You look at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, here, the bullet points on this are the redemption of our body is a direct reference to the resurrection and rapture. The passage links earth's suffering with the church's expectation of deliverance, again, using the birth pains. Now, there's a lot in there, David. Can you kind of go and fill in the blanks on that one?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who may not agree that there is a rapture, and then there's people that have the rapture but the different timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, and it's always the same story because one guy made it up a while ago, so they all use it. Oh, Darby invented it in the 1800s. Well, no, he didn't. It's been around. The early church fathers even wrote about it.
Uh-huh.
They didn't use the same word, just like they didn't use the word dinosaur. They used dragon back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's a language thing. The word that we get, rapture, is actually from rapamir in the Latin. So it's just, it was hijacked from there. But in the Greek, it's harpazo.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also, there's also talk of, you know, taken out of the midst.
Mm-hmm.
Not mist like water, but in the middle, taken out of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different things that are said they'll be taken away in one way or another. And they just didn't use a singular term back then like we do today. And if anything, that's what Darby did. He just kind of put them all together and said, okay, let's all these different things, these terms that are used, let's just call that the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we... You know, we all these things together. Oh, we'll just call this the church when it's really not the, it's called the ecclesia. But that's what happened is people say, oh, the word's not in there. And it got, you know, Bible's not in there either. You know, the word Bible's not in the Bible. Computer's not in there. But here, you know, we're using the computer, the internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore is not in there because he invented the internet. But all this stuff. There's so many writings from so many different ways, including before. Okay, Enoch talks about that being snatched up. There's parables of Isaac was, you know, he went out to get Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham sent the Holy Spirit, his, you know, his helper, Eliezer, and to go get a bride. So the Holy Spirit's here getting a bride for Isaac, who is the son, and it's interesting because you see him sacrifice Isaac and you don't see Isaac in the narrative again until he's going to meet his bride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the bride comes halfway out to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what'll happen. He'll come down in the air and we'll meet him in the
halfway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, when he comes back to rule and reign, he comes with his bride. If you read Revelation, well,
amen.
If he's coming with us, then we must be there already.
Right.
And then he comes down to the earth and puts his foot down on Mount Zion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different things and pictures and words. You ever have a 3D picture?
Mm-hmm.
AD? A hologram?
I can't remember. Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, a hologram. You know, you can, because of the nature of it, basically it's laser cut.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I'm sitting here and I got my microphone here. When you're, if it's a 2D picture, you can't see if I'm wearing a tie or not, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's there. Mm-hmm. But if I take a hologram, it's taken from all angles. So you can turn that picture.
Right.
You can actually see a 3D and see if I'm wearing a tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that on some of the sites I've been on. You know, they got these new things where you can move the camera around.
Yeah, you move them all around and kind of a 3D picture. And that's how the Bible works, because you can literally cut a piece of that picture off, but if you turn it the right way, you can still see that picture.
Yeah.
In other words, I could cut the tie out, but if I turn it the right way, I could see the tie from another angle because it's a 3D picture. So you might be able to, whereas if it's a 2D, it's not. That's what the Bible's like, because it's supernatural and it's got way more than three dimensions. But that's how God encodes it. It's not like, okay, it's a flat picture and there's the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how he does it. He puts the rapture in so many different places. Just everything. He puts everything in so many different places.
Mm-hmm.
All the doctrines are in there from the beginning to the end in so many different places that even if you're missing a piece here or you cut that part out there, you could still see the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I just know that there's a lot of people, David, you know, rapture's not in the Bible, and that they get hung up on that and they never can get past this word.
Well, they don't want to.
Yeah. And
I wouldn't know why in the world wouldn't you want to?
I don't get that either. But I mean, the Bible is pretty clear. Caught up. It didn't say caught down, you know, It says it's get you caught up. Well, I mean, that's really clear. You know, that's in the version,
and
the
even
English
like
version.
In Acts chapter 1, what happened with Jesus? They stood there and they watched him go in the air.
Up.
And then the two shiny men that were standing there with him, I suppose that was Moses and Elijah. That's just a guess, because they were with him on Mount Transfiguration too. Mm-hmm. But in nothing else, it was two shiny men, probably angels, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what did they say? Oh, men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing?
Right.
He's going to come back the same way.
Right.
So you're watching him go up, and then the clouds take him away. He's going to come back the same way. So we're going to see him come out of the clouds, and you're going to watch him come down. Mm-hmm. And then those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. It's
caught
going to
up.
Be an event, not an evaporation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's look at what happens after the birth pains.
What happens?
Immediately following these early contractions, the tribulation begins, starting with the covenant confirmed by the Antichrist. That's in Daniel 9:27, and ultimately leading to God's judgment poured out on an unbelieving world. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Again, that is Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27. And then you look at Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And the bullet point here is Jesus exhorts believers to watch and escape, implying the rapture precedes the tribulation. And what really caught my eye, David, is pray that you may be counted worthy. Now, you know, we've kind of been all over this subject for a long time. And up until recently, I just felt like, well, okay, if you're a Christian at the time of the rapture, that you're automatically qualified and you're going to be caught up or raptured. And now reading scripture like that, I'm not so sure. What do you think, David? Do you think everybody gets to the free pass, or only those of us that are looking to watch it happen?
Well, you know me, I look at both sides of all of it, just to see what God says instead of shoving my own opinion in there. I kind of lean in the direction that he says, blessed are those who love his appearing. Okay. You brethren are not in darkness in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, that day should overtake you as a life. Blessed that, you know, count your, like this one, pray that you're counted worthy. And so you got this thing. I have some friends that are like, oh no, I want to stay here and I want to fight the Antichrist.
Maybe you'll get your wish.
Okay, have at it. You know, it's like, but my Bible says Jesus already won that fight. And so I don't get it why they wouldn't want to go, other than the fact that they don't understand. And here's the thing. Vast majority of this starts with, oh, Israel just lost all their promises and the church replaced it. That's a big problem, because then you're going to read everything that was promised to Israel
as the church.
You're going to read that as that's for the church. And when he says, you know, when you see the abomination of desolation, then flee to Judea, then those in Judea flee to the mountains. And then you're going to say, oh, well, that means I'm going to see him. Well, no, that was written to Israel. Okay, because Israel is still apostate, because Jesus in the chicken event said, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there will be a remnant that's saved and become part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, but the vast majority of them won't until all of this punishment comes down.
Yeah.
So I think if I'm reading correctly, I think the people who are not looking for him are not going to see him.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you on that. Like I said, until recently, I just thought everybody went. But when you look at the scripture and it says you pray to count that you're worthy, and the way we look at the Bible, at least I think we do, that the Bible is true word by word from Genesis all the way through Revelation, that one scripture, just that one scripture is enough of a hint for me that I better be looking for the Lord. I mean, yeah, that's just me. Okay.
And there, it goes to the different harvests as well. People think, in addition to the church replaced Israel, they think everybody's just lumped into one resurrection. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. Even as a term, oh, this is the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. Because there's different harvest times, just like right. we have the feast of the wheat and the barley, mm-hmm. and then the olives and the grapes. And the olives and the grapes are crushed later. That's why we mm-hmm. see them at the end of Revelation mm-hmm. With the oil. So, and the oil and the grapes of wrath, they're crushed. So we won't see that until later. So if I were to put this into perspective, I say it's not that they're not saved, mm-hmm. but they're not part of the bride of Christ.
Right, right.
And mm-hmm. I can say this too, almost unequivocally, those who believe that the church replaced Israel don't believe that the church is the bride of Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then they're probably not. You would, I think, most likely fall into the category of a tribulation saint if mm-hmm. you're still here.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
once you're dead, you're going to be like, okay, you're part of the bride now.
Well, you know, if two-thirds of Israel is destroyed during the tribulation, and we know it will mm-hmm. be, then I can only imagine that those Christians who didn't go or whatever or mm-hmm. became Christian later, they're in for it. I mean, you know, if it's two-thirds of Israel didn't make it, then they're sure as heck not going to, at least in my opinion.
Clearly, somebody's got to survive through the millennium, though.
Yeah.
I mean, through the tribulation and then enter the millennium. Somebody's got to populate the earth.
Amen.
It's a third of the Jews and a multitude from all the nations, mm-hmm. even though it looks like more than half of the earth will be killed and mm-hmm. destroyed in some way. It's not all of them. Right. People will live through it, and then they'll know on the other side because they will see Jesus. Mm-hmm. So some of the Christians that are here today, if he comes into rapture and they're not looking for him, mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh, I missed it, but I'm mm-hmm. still saved. They could still make it into the millennial period. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to rule and reign with Christ in
right,
the heavenlies,
right?
Because that would be our crown.
Yeah, I just wonder what they're going to do. I wonder what they're going to do, if they're going to be with the Jews or what. I don't know.
Well, there will be Gentile nations, so mm-hmm. there's that.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this now, the summary of all this stuff. The birth pains begin. There's wars, disasters, apostasy, persecution increases. That's Matthew 24 and Romans 8. And then you got the rapture of the church, that where Christ gathers the believers. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 and 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. You got the tribulation beginning after the rapture, the Antichrist confirming a covenant, that's Daniel 9:27, and God pouring out his wrath, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, all of that in Revelation 6, verse number 18. But I want to get to this one real quick. This is the comfort and warning. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's that caught up. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The birth pains are not the end, but a signal that Jesus is coming soon for his church. For the believer, it's not a message of fear, but of hope, urgency, and readiness. Now, I agree with every part of that, David. What do you think?
Yeah, and you need to be ready. And mm-hmm. not for nothing, people say, well, what about the people? They believed he was coming back then. Yeah, they're going to get a reward for being ready.
Right.
Even though he hasn't come for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. They watched every day. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Because mm-hmm. they watched, and that's what he wants. Because, you know, not for nothing, we go into eternity, and there's good reason to believe that, you know, all the moments are all at once. So it's possible we can all, you know, everybody through history who was saved could arrive at the throne everybody at the same moment.
Yeah. And that's, I'm, you've said that a couple of times, and we've talked about it off air as well. And it's impossible for a human being to comprehend that.
Nah, you know, we're stuck in here.
Yeah, but it's easy for God to do it, but it's, you know, it's impossible for us to understand it. That's how I look at that.
Yeah, and I guess it's possible we might even experience all of eternity at the same time too. Mm-hmm. Which is, wait, what?
Yeah, we have no. I mean, you know, there's so much we don't know. It's probably a good thing that that God kept us, you know, a lot of this secret.
That's why I got the flaming sword. Yeah, it'd be stop like it. You're gonna blow up your brain.
Overwhelmed by information here. All right, now I had this slide made up just to where people can look at it later. The thing is that you got the birth pains before the rapture. I want to really emphasize that. Okay, there is a rapture. You know, if you read your Bible, you'll figure it out. Right now, you know, we got the signs that the rapture is near. We're looking for the peace and safety there in Israel. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the rapture has to wait for that to happen. You got creation groans, the signs that the rapture is near. I mean, you're seeing that from all of everything that's spoken of in Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. And then you see the rapture there on the right-hand side. And then following the rapture at some point, God's wrath is poured out. And I say at some point because there's nothing in the Bible that tells me anyway that the tribulation period starts immediately after the rapture of the church. And I'm leaning more toward the position that there's going to be a period of time there when, you know, it's got to go, the earth has to go through a transition period. I mean, that's my personal opinion. David, go ahead. You can take it out to the end of the show. When I know you got enough to talk about right with that.
That's just that alone. Well, when did Jesus die? It was 33 AD, right? Mm-hmm. Or about 32. Right. It was not in the neighborhood, depending on which calendar you use. And when was the end of that age? It was when the temple was destroyed. Mm-hmm. Because then there would be no longer any sacrifice. Right. And that's when they had to re-everything. But that was in 70. Mm-hmm. So you got a period of almost 40 years. You know, let's say if it's 32, you got 38 years, which is the exact same amount of time they were in the desert. People say 40 years, but they were actually in the desert 38 years. You got that same amount of time, that overlap, mm-hmm. okay, that like a relay race where they're both running together. Both of the ages. I think we're going to see that again here. And we're just finishing up. This is the Jubilee before the last one. We got one more set of 50 years. Mm-hmm. So in 2075 is the end of 6,000 years, if according to the Essene calendar. Mm-hmm. So we have this overlap time from the next 50 years. And if you're looking at, that was 38, you're really close with, hey, you know, maybe that happens at this time, and then we come up, and then the final 7 years is at the end. Mm-hmm. But rest assured, this is the transition period. We are 100% in the transition period. The exact dates we're not sure of, but rest assured, they will happen, and they'll probably happen soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would encourage you, if you're a Christian, then just look for the Lord and Jesus, because he is coming back momentarily. You don't want to miss him and then say, oh, I'm stuck here. But if you don't know him, it's even more imperative that you receive him, because hell is waiting if you don't. And that's really not a pretty place. So Lord willing, we will see you guys next time. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.